I got a text a few hours ago from a friend of mine that I was just reaching out to because it's Christmas Eve. Extremely successful person, a leader in his city, someone who many, 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 many people look up to. And to me, a rock, if you will, in life. And he said, pray for me because I'm going through that time that I know you understand. I'm at that 2 a.m. moment. Anxiety has taken over my life. Panic has found its way into my story. And I don't know if I have the strength to make it through. I need your prayers and I need your help. And it just crystallized for me all over again, the hope of those words, peace on earth among men. And I know a lot of us are looking for that peace today. And that peace is found in the very one that we're gathered around tonight. That peace is found in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who left heaven to come to earth for you and for me. That's the beauty and that's the power of Christmas. Merry Christmas, everybody. I don't think I've even said that so far today. That's the beauty and that's the power of Christmas. We have an amazing ability. Have you ever noticed this? To take simple things and make them extraordinarily complicated. We turn Christmas not into a one-day event, into a 12-day gift-giving marathon. It started with 12 drummers drumming. Imagine that. I'm gonna give that to my true love. So I've gotta go online, I gotta figure out where you get drummers, I gotta get 12 drummers, I gotta get them all to the house at the same time, I gotta get them all in the same beat. I don't even know if my true love likes drummers, I'm just going out on a limb here, and I'm gonna get 12 drummers drumming, and they're gonna show up at the condo. We gotta get them on the elevator to get them up to our floor. I got 12 drummers, babe, and here they come, and they're drumming. I hope she liked that. And the next day, okay, here we go. You ready? 11 pipers piping. That's easy to get. 10 lords a-leaping. Don't know. Don't know where you go to get that. 9 ladies dancing. 8 maids a-milking. 7 swans a-swimming. 6 geese a-laying. So not just 6 geese. That's doable. We're in the poultry capital of America right here, Gainesville, Georgia. We got all kind of fowl flying around. Maybe we got geese in the neighborhood. Baby, got you 6 geese. No, the geese are laying. Like, babe, I got you 6 geese and watch this. Okay, do it. Let's go. Boom. I mean, amazing. And then what we would think would be the hardest of all the gifts, the 5 gold rings, easy. Let's go to Zales for that or to Jared and just to say, I need 5 gold rings real quick because I've already spent a lot of time getting 11 pipers piping. Then I got 4, I wish we were singing it. Then I would remember. I got 4 calling birds. I don't even know what that is exactly. I guess that's the talking kind of bird. By the way, there's a bird missing over here off Northside Drive near where I live. If you've seen it, his name's Bud. And he's a multicolored exotic bird, and he's been missing for a while. So if someone flies up, doesn't look like he knows where he's going, that's Bud. Just speak to him, say, hey, Bud, and invite him in, and then call me, and I'll connect you with where the sign is on the telephone pole over there. But it's been really ruining my Christmas. Missing bird, for real. 3 French hens. No, so not any hens. 3 French hens. 2 turtle doves. We already got calling birds. 2 turtle doves. How many feel stressed out right now that I'm not going to make it all the way to the end? That's putting the most stress you've had on your holidays right now. Come on, Lord, help him. He can do this. And then the very end, a partridge. But the kicker, it's got to be in a pear tree. So not like, hey, babe, got you a partridge. No, I went and got you a pear tree and then put the partridge in the tree. PNC Financial Group, have you heard of them? They do a updated accounting every year based on market price of what it would cost if you got all 12 days of Christmas for your true love this year. And based on their Christmas price index, the 2017 market rate for the 12 days of Christmas, $34,558.65. This is because we have the ability to take a simple idea and to complicate it in an extraordinary way. For example, that thing you're in with your spouse right now, where if you had just said, "I'm sorry," which is very simple, it would have saved the last 5 hours of negotiation. And me proving to you that I'm right and you proving to me that I'm wrong. Just something simple. We make it so complicated, but God takes the most complex things, like how a holy God could rescue mankind, and he makes it so simple as a baby in a manger. But we even made that a little bit crazy. We turned that into the nativity, and the nativity is one of the craziest things of all. How many of you have a nativity, by the way? How many of you are rocking the nativity at the house still? Can I just see a show of hands? Just high here, Cumberland all across. Oh, that's beautiful. Well, we've brought in a wonderful one. Some of you have already been appreciating it while I've been recounting the 12 days of Christmas. Now, this one is a special edition that we did just for tonight because it lights up. Can we get a close-up of the nativity? I don't know if that's possible or not, but you really need to appreciate the nativity. My most respected character in the nativity this year is the polar bear who left the North Pole so early to journey all the way to the Middle East, to Bethlehem. Can you imagine the journey he went on? And the looks he got, the laughs and the jeers, he's like, can't stop, got to keep moving. We got Wonder Woman, and Batman made it. Because superheroes know superheroes when they're born. They got it. They showed up on time. I do respect the fact that R2-D2 made it, along with C-3PO and Chewbacca, and one of the stormtroopers got there just in time. There's a minion in there that you can't see good, but he's kind of hiding down behind the donkey. And then there's an elf on a shelf, because what is Christmas without an elf on a shelf? These guys kind of creep me out a little bit, so I'm just going to put him over here. Few problems with the nativity. I don't want to be Scrooge. I don't want to ruin your Christmas. I don't want to, you know, bring, like, reality into the beauty of your story. But it didn't snow when Jesus was born. Not over in Bethlehem, it didn't. Oh, it might snow occasionally, but not too often. And Jesus wasn't born on December 25th. Trouble, I know. So we got to get this guy and do a little work here. You can get a miniature leaf blower. You can get anything. If you just Google what you want, you'd be surprised what you can find. So we're going to do a little work here because it really wasn't snowing on Christmas. You're like, boy, if you take the snow out of Christmas, Louie, you're going to ruin Christmas because we're going to have to take about half of the Christmas songs out. Don't know where the sleigh is going to land. It's going to get really difficult. But we still got lights on the palm tree, so don't worry. Everything's good. You know, I think for the very last gathering of the day, I'm just going to bring a real-sized leaf blower for my house. And we're going to do this up the way it's supposed to be done. It's a lot of things in here. It's pretty complicated. A Christmas tree, for one thing. You got Magi. They didn't arrive till like a year later. I mean, imagine that timing. We saw a star, and poof, we got here right when the baby cried. They came a long way, didn't get there for a long time, but somehow we just kind of jumble it all up, don't we? And sometimes when we jumble it all up, it's hard to remember how powerful the message is all by itself. So I want to talk for a few minutes about the bare essentials of Christmas. So maybe you got a spiral sliced honey baked ham. Good for you. Maybe you don't have a fancy meal planned at all. Maybe everybody's going to be around the table and the fire's going to be roaring. Or maybe it's just kind of hodgepodge for you this year. And you're kind of actually looking for somewhere to go. Maybe you just got the biggest bonus you've ever gotten in your life. Or maybe you are scraping together every cent you have to be able to get a ticket to travel to see the person you love. But what are the bare essentials this Christmas? What's most important to the human heart? Because Christmas, I believe, speaks to every single one of us in the room tonight. And I believe it speaks to the deepest needs in the human heart. So we're gonna sort of strip down the complicated and get back to the simple. It brings us back here to a humble man and a humble young woman and a miraculous gift in a manger. And in this snapshot is everything we need. All the bare essentials are right here. What are they? The first one is this. It's love. Every single one of us in this room needs love, and not just any kind of love. We need unconditional love that defines our worth apart from what we do, what we accomplish, who we know, or what we own. The rat race of life is, I feel good about me based on what I have or what I've done or what I can accomplish or who I know. And that's a rat race in life, because I'm constantly having to upgrade who I know or what I've accomplished or what I own or what I do. And this is one of the dilemmas of life. What am I truly worth? What am I truly all about? And it's answered right here in this moment, because in this picture is God's answer to your worth. When I was a kid, I loved that moment where they would interrupt the television programs here in Atlanta, Georgia, three channels when I was growing up. I know, pray for me. And they would say, we're gonna interrupt this broadcast for this important message. And they would immediately cut to the newsroom at WSB. And the weather person, we didn't have meteorologists back then, the weather person would say, good news, kids, we've detected Rudolph entering North American airspace. And right on the radar screen on our television set was a little red blinking light coming across the border from Canada. And my sister and I, we'd be like, no way! A little bit later, we interrupt your regularly scheduled programming. Rudolph has entered Georgia. And here comes a little blinking light across the border from Tennessee, South Carolina. He would come different ways at different years based on the weather. And he'd be like, he's here. Rudolph's coming. And then another newsflash, Rudolph is on 285. And that's when we would know we've got an hour and 20 minutes. Man, when Rudolph was on the radar, that's when you knew it was all going to happen. But how powerful to think tonight that we're not celebrating flying animals on a radar. We're celebrating the reality that you are on heaven's radar tonight. God not only sees you, He loves you. Not because of what you have, not because of what you've done, not because of all of your accomplishments, and not because of who you know. He loves you because He created you uniquely you. And He's loved you from the moment you came to life in your mother's womb. You know, there's a text in the end of the New Testament that summarizes love in such a powerful way, because when we say that one of the bare essentials of humanity is that we are loved, love gets defined in so many different ways. Back in another generation, Burt Bacharach said, "What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of." And that's still true right now. If you read the headlines, you see the tension, the racial tension, the tension between us and the immigrant family that lives down the road, tension within, tension without, tension between nations. The world does need love, but what is love? Is it just an idea? Is it a warm feeling? Is it some sort of a man-concocted solution to all the drama of the world? And in this text, love is defined in the most beautiful and powerful way. It says, "Dear friends," 1 John 4, verse 7, "let us love one another." So this is our ideal. But then there's some substance underneath how that's going to happen. For love comes from God. If I could just put a footnote there, the solution to all of the tensions on planet Earth are not found in men. They are found in men who have been found by God. God Almighty is the one who speaks peace into mankind, on whom His favor rests. And this is what the text is unfolding to us. "For everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." But that doesn't mean God is a warm feeling. It doesn't mean that God is a nebulous abstract out there in the universe called love. God now is going to define exactly what His love is all about. This is how God showed His love among us. So we're getting an unfolding story of the reality of what is true in God's heart. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. In other words, if you want to know love, look in the manger. If you want to know love, listen to the angels. If you want to know love, see a God who was willing to enter into human flesh so that you could hear God and see God and know God and be brought back to God. The second bare essential for all of us in life is grace. We can't live without it. And we can say there's no right and wrong, but none of us believe that. We can say I can't judge you and you can't judge me, and that is true. But there is a standard. There is something called truth. There is something that is right and that is pure and that is lovely and that is holy and that is good. We all know that because we have some of the divinity of God stamped into us at our very creation. And we know that there is a great God in heaven. And we know that there is something to aspire to that is better than our best efforts. Do we not? And if you don't feel a need of grace, then obviously, there's not much to celebrate at Christmas. But if you have one regret, if you have one stain, if you have 1 ounce of shame, if you have one memory that's still haunting you of a decision that you made, if there's a cloud over you that says, I could have done better, I should have done different, I wish I could change, I've tried to make it right, then you need the grace that only God can give. And that grace is in that manger. The angel said, call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. In other words, the message of Christmas is that that's not just any baby. That's God's gift to you and me. He goes on to say in the next verse, not only is this how God showed his love to us, that he sent his one and only son into the world that we might live through him, but he adds on to that, and this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son. Oh my goodness, check this out. I feel like I want to do Tasha and go, oh! Maybe I will. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. Okay, I thought maybe you'd go with me, but no, I see what you're doing to me. That's all right. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. And what kind of and? Why do you need an and? Why not just a period? Why not an exclamation point? Not, that's all I needed to know. This is love. Not that I love God, because I know I didn't do a great job loving God. Anybody here would say amen to that? I know this Christmas story doesn't begin with me. I didn't announce to mankind that we should have a Savior. I'm just out here in darkness, bumping along, trying to figure out life. Christmas wasn't our idea. It was God's idea. And the story of love isn't me saying to God, I love you so good. I bet you're just blown away with how much I've loved you in my lifetime. No, love doesn't start with me. Love starts with God. And the reason why that's a kind of good moment for us is because all of us know we haven't done enough to measure up to a perfect God. But Merry Christmas. Love doesn't start with us. That's not love. The definition of love isn't we are amazing. The definition of love is God is amazing. And it's not about on Christmas night what we did to impress God. It is about God doing what he did to come down to reach into our world. And you would think that's a great enough story. Just put a period right there. Just in the Bible right there. I mean, why do I need Jude and Revelation and maps and a concordance? Just end it right there. The end. God loved us. Period. But there is a conjunction sitting there called and that must mean that the story of God is beyond human comprehension. And so we've been praying all today, all through this day, that God would give us help by his Spirit to see with eyes of faith the power of what he did for us. This is love, not that we loved God. We're not talking about religion here. We're not celebrating our best efforts here. We're celebrating God and what he did for us. And here comes the and. He loved us and, can you just say and? Just tell your neighbor, get ready for the and. Just tell your neighbor, get ready for the and. And he sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. The bare essentials in life, without love, your heart, your soul is going to shrivel up. Oh, you can have a headline. You can have a great story. You can have great success. You can do all the things that you put out on your to-do list to do. But your soul, my soul, is going to shrivel without that unconditional love of God that defines me and gives me my greatest sense of worth. And without grace, how would we ever sleep at night? Without a clear conscience. Without the removal of the stain of our guilt and shame, without the lifting of the weight of our sin, how can we make it through this life? And we certainly won't make it into the presence of Almighty God. But he says, here's how much I loved you. I sent my son to be the atoning sacrifice for your sins. What does that mean? Atoning sacrifice. It means that baby, born of a virgin, innocent of sin, grew up to be a man who willingly chose to lay his life down in the greatest sacrifice ever known, who traded his innocence and divinity for all of our guilt and all of our shame. He took the blows so that we could receive forgiveness. He took the nails on the cross so that we could be forgiven and free. The greatest exchange in the history of the world was God giving his best so that you and I could come back to life again spiritually and experience everything that he had created us to be. A couple of more bare essentials in this story. I think all of us would admit today that one of the bare essentials in life is family. We're living in a world that's pulling a family apart, but God is all about it. And if you don't believe it or need proof, just look at the manger. You got a husband and a wife and a baby at the very beginning of God's salvation story. There's two ways I think God wants to encourage us with that today. One is your family is one of the bare essentials in your life. So take a moment in the grace of God today to reach out to them and tell them that you love them. Maybe there's a grievance. Maybe there's a gap. Maybe there's been a wrong. But in the power and the light of God's love and grace, reach out to someone today and say, I want to be the first one that says, I'm sorry. I just want to be the first one to say, I love you. I just want to be the first one to say, it's been a few months now since we've talked, but Merry Christmas. But secondly, I think it says to us that God doesn't want you to live lonely. God doesn't want you to live isolated. Maybe your family's jacked up. Maybe you don't even know exactly who all the people in your family are. Maybe somehow you're stuck in life of going, I don't even know, mom, dad, none of that really makes sense or works for me in this world in a human way. Well, I want you to know this. There's a God in heaven, and his name is Perfect Heavenly Father, and he sent his son so that you could come to life again through grace to be called a son or a daughter of God. And God, the scripture says, puts the lonely in families. The scripture says, even if my mother and my father forsake me, the Lord will take me up. And Christmas is about family, and it's an invitation for you to be in a family. And when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, it's not just simply a transaction on the roll of heaven. It's a new creation in the heart of a man or a woman. And the scripture says we are born again, sons and daughters of God. And being loved in a family is a bare essential. None of us can do it alone. And the last bare essential is purpose. Every one of us needs it. And it has to be bigger than your job, amen? It has to be bigger than just making a bigger check, right? Doesn't it have to be bigger than that? It has to be bigger than pleasure. It has to be bigger than the next hoorah or the next party or the next hill or the next mountain. It's gotta be bigger than that. We were made for more than that. And the purpose that we need, by which I think all of us will languish in this world, that purpose that we long for is in that manger. If his name is Jesus and he was Lord at his birth, if he was a king when he was born, if he was God come down in human flesh, then he is the greatest of all time. And we find our purpose in a relationship with him, and we find our purpose in shining the light of Jesus into this world. It doesn't matter if you're a baker or a broker or a banker or a mother or a lawn mower or a mechanic. That's what you do. Purpose is why you do it. And to wake up in the day and to put our hands to what we are good at and to say, I want to do this in such a way that the light of Jesus can be seen through my life into this world. What greater purpose is there than that? And I wonder if there's anybody in this gathering who somehow your eyes have been opened, and through the clutter of the complicated Christmas, you have found the miracle in the power of the simplified story. This is God come down so that I can know love, that I can know grace, that I can be born again into a family, that I can have a purpose that's big enough to chase after my whole life on this earth. And all of that comes when we come to Jesus and bow our hearts down, admit our sin, and accept his forgiveness. And that can be yours right here and right now on Christmas Eve.